Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents time with Luke and Brian. I'm adding in the time. It's actually officially called Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. But again, I'm getting pedantic here. Either way, we're broadcasting to you all across the state in four different locations now. Oh, this is amazing here. We got WTTN out in Madison. That's 1580 AM as well as 92.7 FM. That's Double Radio. And we also have in Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. You want to keep going here, Luke? I'm running out of things. You have it in, written in front of you.
No worries.
I mess it up otherwise.
I don't have it written down yet in front
Bullfalls
of me.
Bull Falls Radio.
It's Bull Falls Radios, but I know it because it's 98.9 FM, 1230 AM, as well as locally grown radio up in Wisconsin Rapids. That is 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. It's kind of mean that our two closest AMs to each other up there are just the inverse of the inner two numbers. It's kind of mean. It's 1230.
It's 1320, 1230.
Yeah, that's kind of mean because that's going to be very easy to confuse. But I haven't got it wrong yet.
Don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't know them. I'm very well aware of them. I have all of it. I know the way I am right now, I will probably say my own name wrong. In fact, sometimes I've said Luke's name wrong and called him myself.
Yeah, that's true.
It makes sense.
I think Kelsey and the dog are also learning them because I think I say them in my sleep as I'm trying to memorize.
That's
100% it.
See, part of the thing, if you like, let's say you get a new jock from a different station or whatever, and they come over and they migrate over and stuff, they will go and every now and then they will go and just put their old liners out from, like, I mean, I think Stu sometimes would just throw out like something from like 30 years ago just if he had an off day or whatever. But anyway, I digress, as is our wont here on Dueling Tangents.
As we tend to do.
That's wont with an O, by the way. I am a scholar. I'm learned.
You are learned, Brian. And I want to welcome you back 2 days in a row, man. This is almost a pattern. So we got to keep it.
I got to zig and zag at the same time.
Is your leg a little shaky? You know, you're kind of like getting back out there. You're sitting in a desk for too long today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Actually, my leg literally is shaky because I can move it. I'm not stuck in the car the whole time.
There you go.
You know, limited leg movement.
Nice. Well, if folks, you want to join the show at any given time, you can. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Your tangents are encouraged as well. So please feel free to call and text that number, 844-967-2789. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. And Brian, we've had kind of a whirlwind of 24 hours of political news here in the state of Wisconsin, as well as the nation. There was a lot of Americans that went to the polls yesterday in states like Arizona, Michigan, and Kansas. So we're going to dive into probably one of the biggest shocking headlines of yesterday's primary results. And this is a week before Wisconsinites themselves go to the polls. So we'll dive into those primary debates as well coming up in the show. But let's lead it off, Brian.
Yeah.
Because there was a shocking, pretty incredible result in the Kansas primary yesterday. It was the first time that abortion access was on the ballot since the United States Supreme Court took a drastic step, and rather than just roll back Roe v. Wade, they completely overturned it.
Now let's set the stage here, because Kansas also planned this ahead of time before the Roe v. Wade decision, from what I understand. Like, that's how it got on the ballot in the first place, right? From what I understand. The Republicans, because again, the legislature there is primarily Republican and has been for ever. I think one time they had the state, the Senate, and the governor at the same time, and that was 92. But every other time, they've had pretty much Republican-controlled legislature, with every now and then they'll have a Democratic governor in the state of Kansas, just to give you an idea of how Kansas is made up. Now, on top of that, the Republican legislature put this on the ballot assuming a different result because it's a primary, and generally it's loaded with only Republican voters in these primaries, right? Well, that backfired.
And voter turnout in these primaries, historically, I saw numbers yesterday in the range of 300,000 to 400,000 voters in these off-year non-presidential primaries. And so that's kind of the what I would assume the Republican-led legislature in Kansas was hoping for. They were kind of looking for a low turnout number, and maybe that it's not that big of a deal. But Brian, the primary results out of Kansas were more in line with the presidential turnout. That's how important this issue was.
50%. They're talking 50%.
Which is high turnout. It was almost, I believe, close to a million voters rather than the 300,000, 400,000 range.
They said this was as big as a midterm election. Like, this primary was as big as a normal midterm
election. As like the normal November midterm election.
This is readily red, super rural red state, Kansas. And you think, oh, they must have, you know, they must have gotten the libs in the cities, you know, to go on, which they did. But generally, the rural votes in the state of Kansas, as you can tell from the legislature being all red since 92, all red. So they traditionally vote Republican especially in the rural areas, right? They always have enough to overvote the cities, even if the cities turn out, right? Well, the cities turned out, but this also means, and there's a really good chance that the Republican districts also favored abortion access.
And that's the surprising part. So not even was it that the turnout was high, the margin in which the effort to protect abortion access won by was staggering, Brian.
They won more than Trump won. They were up 18 points, I believe, when I was reading as a New York Times article, and it was written last night. At the time they wrote it, they were up 18 points. Trump won by 15.
So abortion access, protecting abortion access in the state of the conservative state of Kansas is more popular on the ballot than the conservative president looking to be reelected in 2020. That is shocking news, Brian.
You know what? Honestly, it isn't. Because nationwide polls over and over and over and over again tell us this is true. If you look back, and the only comparison I'm making to this, because obviously the situations in the direct circumstances are different, but if you look back to when Governor Evers got elected, right, there was a lot of marijuana referendums on the ballots. At least half of the state had a marijuana referendum on the ballot, and people had a chance to directly voice their opinion, to maybe even possibly move the lines on something. And they did, and they showed up, and, you know, overwhelmingly, the entire state says, we want to legalize marijuana. Overwhelmingly, polls around say, we'd like to, you know, support Roe v. Wade. And overwhelmingly, this is across party lines. Because, again, this is not just about abortion. It's about your bodily autonomy, you know? So, again, I think there's a bunch of people who realize, oh, my goodness, this could affect me.
Yeah, and there's people that this is one of those instances where it is hard to believe that polling sometimes, Brian, because when you have voters that are not monoliths, they're not necessarily one issue voters. This wasn't a one issue ballot referendum.
But you got to separate that one issue.
Right. So we got to see that one issue. It's going to be interesting to see if this is applicable to where conservative voters are then, because it's also important to note that things like Medicaid expansion in states like Montana and Idaho and other deemed conservative states also pass when they're on ballot referendums.
They're coming up.
Things that Democrats want to do if they were allowed to have majorities in these conservative state legislatures around the country, are being expanded on ballot access, just like we saw in Kansas yesterday with the right to protect abortion access. And so it's going to be really interesting, because I feel a lot of people from this news out of Kansas yesterday is just saying, well, Republicans are screwed in this fall because now we know where voters stand on this issue. And I think it's very important to take this with a grain of salt from both, viewing it from both sides. I think conservatives should be a little bit worried, but we cannot have the progressives and the liberal camp all of a sudden believing that this is going to be written in stone and the results come November.
Yeah.
It is really important to know that there's still a lot of work to be done, and this
they
is a good sign.
They did a lot of organizing in Kansas.
A lot of organizing everywhere, meeting people where they were and talking to them about this after it got announced that it was going to be on the ballot. And there's not a whole lot of the race. Well, there were numerous other races, but it wasn't a national election yesterday.
Yeah.
There was a number of states that held primary elections. Kansas, Michigan, Arizona. I believe there were a couple others as well. But when this comes down to November, it's going to be really interesting to see how the vote yesterday in Kansas does get applied to a national election.
I forgot. Is this binding? Does this actually legally do anything other than just get a poll?
I think it. No, it's simply there was an effort to remove it out of the Kansas's constitution has the right to an abortion in it. It protects abortion access in the state's constitution. And therefore, this effort to try to repeal that aspect of the state constitution failed. So it continues to provide the constitutional right to an abortion in the state of Kansas, which conservatives wanted to do away with, from my understanding of what was going on in Kansas. I'm not a Kansas expert. I'm really not. But that is my take on what was going on out there. So very interesting news. I think it's something to keep an eye on. It's a little interesting to me that it was so shocking to some people that were there on the ground as well. But it gives you a good feeling about maybe.
I could see like a small margin of victory. I like honestly, because again, the
18
polling
points.
The polling, or at least as of the New York Times article we're referencing. But yeah, that's the margin of victory. I thought was going to be smaller, I would say. But wow.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. Taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. We're going to change gears and get into some Wisconsin headlines as well when we get back, but taking your phone calls all hour long. Dueling Tangents, we'll be right back.
Yes, everybody. The voice of Wisconsin, Tori Amos.
Oh my gosh!
So, you may be wondering, why are we playing a Tori Amos song? Well, I love Tori Amos. She's fantastic. She's got a heck of a voice, and pretty much anybody who I really, really respect and love also loves Tori Amos. So I'm not dissing her whatsoever. But this is Song for Eric, and it goes out to Eric, who won in Missouri.
Which Eric?
Eric.
Whichever one was endorsed.
Congratulations, Eric. You are the best.
Oh, folks, welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian over there.
Oh, man. I think, you know, it's very important when you get that Triumph endorsement to go and know who that person is before you endorse. Unless
you think the Eric only got endorsed in Missouri because, you know...
I wonder if
Trump.
double Eric voter turnout happened or something.
It would be interesting. Just imagine being like, okay, I got Trump told me to vote for Eric, and then you walk into the booth and there's two Erics on the ballot. Like, imagine the confusion of just being like kind of a pretty low information voter and just being like, crap, there's two Erics. I didn't do enough of the homework. It was an open notes test and I don't have enough to pass. Like, that is what happened in the Missouri primary. Eric, there's two Erics on the ballot for Missouri governor or U.S. Senate. I forget which race it was, but Trump came in and endorsed Eric without a last name. And I think it honestly stems from the fact that here in Wisconsin, there are also two candidates that were seeking a Trump endorsement for the GOP gubernatorial.
Call me Tim.
Tim?
Some will call me Tim.
I love a good Monty Python reference.
I can see Trump going, Tim. Yeah, because here's the thing.
And then Trump's
Tim Michaels really had said nothing about, right, you know, election fraud or anything like that. Tim Rampton was the guy who's like, yeah, decertify, which is funny because Trump just endorsed Robin Voss's opponent, mm-hmm, calling Robin Voss a rhino, and, you know, saying that, you know, Steen. I can see him saying, I like Steen.
That's a strong name.
Steen, whoever that is. Either way, I guarantee you Steen has better yard signs than Robin Voss. It looks like a freaking New York license plate. Anyway, seriously, it's like a yellow and black New York State license plate. It's just bad. It's awful. Whatever you think about the guy or candidate or however you're going to vote.
No graphic design.
Those signs are awful.
No graphic design.
Take them down.
Skills.
They're just, you should be embarrassed. But again, when the guy has no shame, whatever. But anyway.
Like you said, Rantham was kind of openly the Trump candidate. It was assumed that he was probably, before Tim Michaels got into the race, could have been the potential candidate that
I had assumed that he was going to be the Trump loser candidate. You know, Trump always picks, like, this guy's a crazy loser. Go and I endorsed him, and then I did it. And then the guy loses by a lot, and then Trump goes, who was that? I don't even know who you're talking about.
And so I think the Eric situation in Missouri just completely stemmed from here in Wisconsin that Trump probably wanted to endorse Tim Rantham, and he just said Tim, and then their aides picked the one that they thought had a better chance of which Tim deserved the endorsement.
And when it comes down to it, honestly, the best candidate to if you're going to match somebody with Donald Trump, it's Tim Michaels. Guy in a suit, inherited a company.
Dad did all the work.
Lives in a different state than he's trying to go and control.
that he knows how to drive a truck.
Yeah, pretends he's some sort of blue-collar guy when there's not even a chance that he's a blue-collar guy. Like, there's no possible way. He marched in front of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Okay. You did. Great. Yeah. That's great. Respect to you, man. But don't tell me like you're, hey, you and me, we're the same. We hung out in the bar and had a beer once. That dude that you hung out and had a beer once was like, he has that beer because he has to sometimes. You did it so that you could go and ingratiate yourself to him. You know what I mean? Like that. Anyway,
yes.
Tim Michaels is perfect for Donald Trump.
But the similarities there are a little uncanny. But it is interesting to me that Eric won without getting, you know, that formal last name on that endorsement. It kind of shortens the process. Good job, Eric. But we got Tim Michaels is going to be joined by Donald Trump here in the state of Wisconsin later this week, Brian.
Oh, really?
Coming to Waukesha on Friday. But it's interesting because there's really dueling campaign endorsements back and forth here between the Tim Michaels camp and former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, who was the presumptive nominee for this just a few months ago before Tim Michaels got into the race, and is completely shaking up the dynamic. And so today, former Vice President Mike Pence and former Governor Scott Walker stumping in Pewaukee for the former Lieutenant Governor Clayfish. Oh. And then later this week, the former president is coming to town. Donald Trump going to be stumping for, and I believe Adam Steen, who you referenced there, who's running against
Good
Robin Voss,
Adam Steen,
is going to be at that event as well in Waukesha. So it's getting pretty crazy in this Republican primary.
I want you guys to go. I'm endorsing this person because he's calling for something that you actually can't do. I appreciate that. And by the way, the thing I want him to do is overturn the last election, which half of the people that I'm endorsing got elected in. But I want you to go and turn out to vote because that election was stolen, and the vote is always going to be stolen. But you should turn out to vote, even though the vote is going to be stolen anyway. And then you should endorse this guy, Tim Michaels. Why? Because it's him and his Michaels walking down the street scaring children. And I appreciate that because he's kind of a lot like me. And eventually he's the son I wish I had.
Better than Eric and Don. That's a different Eric. Well, we don't need to go
different
down
Eric.
Right now.
And that's the thing. Maybe that's why he had to. He forgot. He's like, and I have to endorse Eric. Eric.
Oh, no.
Like in his mind,
Eric.
He was like, oh yeah, I have a son named Eric, and he's like, Dad, somewhere, whenever
you
he says Eric.
You said my name, Dad. You said my name.
Dad, you said my name. It was It was somebody else. No, he plays that speech back to himself, by the way.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Some Republican in disarray headlines. We've got some more that we're going to get into here in the state of Wisconsin when we get back. Also taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. You can follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. We got a ton of new social accounts for Devil Radio, The Shaw, Bull Falls Radio, and Locally Grown Radio. So check us out online, wherever dead. Growing.
Dead. Dead. I love you.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian.
That's true.
It's true. And you're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 15 AM here in Madison, as well as the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha, on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. That's on 98.9 FM, 1230 AM, and Locally Grown Radio in Wisconsin Rapids, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. And Brian, I want to give a quick shout out to all of the listeners that came out to Hawk's Bar and Grill 100%. Yesterday night.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was a great time on State Street. Hawk always knows how to throw a party at Hawk's. And it was a great time. I really appreciate all of the listeners that came out to the event. There will be more events coming up on the schedule as well, so you want to stay tuned.
I want to spend more time with everybody. I feel like I was like, hey, how you doing? All right, that's great. I got to go. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Got to go.
Yeah, it was a great Devil's Advocate show, but it does go quick. You know, there's only so many people that we can say hi to in such a short period of time.
I know, but I want to say hi to all of them. It's just there are times. So the bar I used to work at in Chicago, real small place, basically. I think a train car, basically. A bar is on one length of it, and then there's like, you know, an opening area in the front where you have a couple tables, and then there's a rail down the, you know, bar rail, but then on the left there's like two tops, you know, down that way. But there's basically room for one person to walk through, maybe two side by side. It's a smaller place, and there's room in the back as well. But my point is when I came back, you know, when I moved to LA after 4 years of working there nonstop, and when I would come back, it would take me good 2 hours to get to the back of the bar. No matter what was going on. Also because I'm physically just hard to get through.
Hard
but
to
also,
maneuver.
You know, I'd turn around and then the next person, hey, how you doing? Oh my goodness, yeah. I was hoping you would overhear the story I just told that person, but I'll tell you again.
There you go. Anyway. But it was a great time down at Hawk's Bar and Grill on State Street. Looking forward to the next live show as well, so stay tuned. When we have the details for those, we will share them to the listening audience. But Brian, I alluded to Republicans in disarray as we were wrapping up the last segment.
A touch.
And I don't know if it's just because it's not alliteration, so, you know, the headlines just don't come out that way, like Democrats in disarray. But the Republican Party of Wisconsin right now is in shambles, in my opinion. I don't understand how it isn't talked about more, because there's like mutinies going on. The Assembly Speaker is being primaried from the right. The former president of the United States, Republican president of the United States, is backing said primary opponent, a race that most experts that were watching, Rebecca Clayfish was running a shadow campaign for 3.5 years and presumed to be the nominee for the Republicans to go up against Tony Evers since she lost with Scott Walker on the ballot in 2018. Like, it's just been presumed that way. And there is just chaos going on in that election. And now we're finding out, Brian, that some really out there activists, they want to call themselves activists, and I don't understand why we're calling them that, I guess. They should just be referred to as criminals. Because
they're active, and they're ists.
Yeah, and they're actively committing crimes.
Yeah.
So,
well,
That's what they're actively doing.
It's a medical assist.
And admitting to it to the local authorities that then say, well, I'm not going to actually arrest you for you confessing those crimes to me right now. And so that leads us to one Racine County sheriff. Schmaling.
We talked about Schmaling yesterday.
Schmaling. But now we're finding out a little bit more about him, Brian. And you wanted to share this story, so I'll let you take it away from here.
Well, I mean, I guess that it turns out that, you know, I know it's hard to believe. Please take a seat. It's hard to you know, try and figure this out or you know, believe in it. But Christopher Schmeling, and here's the headline of the Journal Sentinel, sit down, a figure in Wisconsin election controversies, is active in a sheriff's group compared to the Oath Keepers.
Wow.
Great time.
Great, great, great day.
You know, when I say, like we just came up with, you know, Civic Media, and we put this conglomerate together, you know, we're part of this type of thing. We're coming up with names for it and things like that. If you're in an organization, do you ever want to be like, I want to be like the Oath Keepers? You know, like, we're like, how do you want to be? Like, how do you want us to be, like, looked at? You know, just consider us the Oath Keepers, you know, Wisconsin. You know, like that. Like, what? Like, the sheriff's group that's like the Oath Keepers. Yeah, that's what we are. Like, who? What?
This is...
The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. That sure sounds like some dangly, dangly, dang, let's go shoot up in the air because we're Wyatt Earp.
No, it's really the law and order, and but only the law that we want to follow, and only the order that we can force. That's what it should be.
That's good. Oh, yeah, it's Roadhouse Justice. Good, 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 good.
Yes, yes. And so this is a very interesting piece written by Corinne Hess over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I just don't understand how a few years back, domestic terrorism got classified as a top priority by the FBI. The Federal Bureau of Investigation was like, domestic terrorists are one of the number one risks to Americans.
Uh-huh.
And I don't understand how we don't talk more about organizations like this that are trying to... I'm not saying that they're actively plotting domestic terrorism, but these groups, like the fringe Oath Keepers, the 3%ers, all of those groups, those are domestic terrorists. And yes. So if your group is based off of what those groups are, I'm sorry, but you're getting way too close
Say we're the nicer Nazis.
No.
Like, there's no, like, that hey, that doesn't we're exist. Like the Nazis, but, like, nicerer.
Yeah, like, you can't do the light beer version of a hate group. Like,
all right, so we want to talk about hate groups. Let's go to the experts, the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're really, really good at knowing who the hate groups are. In fact, anytime you talk about hate groups, guess what the primary reference to all of that is? Southern Poverty Law Center. So let's talk to let's see what Rachel Goldwasser said with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Here's a quote. They're not only throwing away the rule of law, they're deciding that they are the arbiter of the law, which is the Supreme Court's job, and that is very disturbing. And they're getting linked up to a network of people on the fringes as well. This is great.
This is great. This is what the Racine County Sheriff, who came out and endorsed the former president in 2020, he endorsed Donald Trump at the time, but he also refused to enforce mask mandates when they were the law of the land. They were still being litigated in the courts, and so there was a legal process for people that did not like a mask mandate to go and try to remedy that. And it went through the courts, and ultimately they found that local health authorities could do it, but the state couldn't without an act from the legislature. And the Wisconsin Republican-led legislature wasn't going to do that. They weren't assist in the midst of the worst pandemic that we had seen in 100 years. So we didn't get a statewide mask mandate, but we found out that county health officials can do orders like that, and still... The Racine County Sheriff just said, I don't support that. That's an overreaching aspect, and I'm just not going to enforce the mask mandate. And now that we see that there's an elaborate scheme for an individual, and I would assume a group of individuals, because absentee ballots that he claims he didn't request, Harry Waite, are now showing up at his door. So there's got to be some kind of cabal or group of these individuals.
Somebody might be lying here.
Yeah, maybe the criminals that were committing the crimes were lying.
All right, I got a thought and a quote here. So
let's hear them.
All right, so, here's the quote here first. The Constitutional Sheriffs were founded in 2011 by former Graham County, Arizona Sheriff Richard Mack. Good old Graham County, Arizona. The organization is similar to the Oath Keepers, which encourages members to refuse to enforce laws they believe are unconstitutional. This is the kind of person you want in your sheriff?
Judge, jury, and executioner. Like I said, that's what they want to be.
Mac is a board member of the Oath Keepers also. He does have dual membership. In bold letters on the Constitutional Sheriff's website, the mission statement reads, quote, "The vertical separation of powers in the Constitution makes it clear that the power of the sheriff even supersedes the powers of the president."
Oh, so these people are insane. Okay, I guess it's good to know that they're all going to be able to use an insanity plea when they commit violence or acts of whatever, and they get arrested for it.
This brings me to my thought. So this guy, this is what he believes as sheriff. Congratulations for those who elected him. Way to go, Law and Order. But let's say that there's a referendum on the Wisconsin ballot. You know, should we codify Roe v. Wade, and they give it to it. It'll never get there, but let's just pretend like, you know, we pulled a Kansas and everybody in Wisconsin said, you know what? 60% or more, like we won by 18 points. It's going to happen. We're going to codify Roe v. Wade. It will never actually happen because the Wisconsin legislature is run by the Republican Party, who have refused to do anything, especially that's things that are related to, you know, the will of the people of Wisconsin, the overwhelming will of the people of Wisconsin, no matter how much it gets demonstrated, right? But they will do nothing about it. My point is that if you want to have anything done, if you want to have sanity, if you'd like to have a sheriff, let's say that, I don't know, believes in enforcing the law, and not as they interpret it, but as it is, because we do have a separation of powers because of that, because we don't want people walking around being judge, jury, and executioner, right?
Just imagine that they have the ability, they claim that they interpret the Constitution so much better than you, Brian, that they're like, oh, the sheriff is actually the top of this. They want to be the ones to enforce and interpret the laws, but they can't even interpret the Constitution to understand that sheriffs are not higher than the president.
I'll say this. I'm not even sure that wackadoo Sheriff David A. Clark would get behind this. I'm not sure. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to put it past that guy. The guy had someone tailed for looking at him funny for wearing a Cowboys jersey.
He did like an event though back in a few years, within the last year or two. In Wauwatosa, and he had either Oath Keepers or Three Percenters with him.
Oh, yeah, because like that's...
So I would argue that this is probably very similar views spouted by Sheriff David A. Clark.
When Sheriff David A. Clark was coming, I'm just going to insert Blazing Saddles reference there. Let's go to Dick from Madison.
Dick, how are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, guys. God, I'm sorry I missed yesterday. Sounded like a great time.
It's always fun, Dick. You get to actually see people and talk to them for more than like 30 seconds.
Well, I've made most of them. But to Michaels, could it be, guys, maybe he didn't even get Trump's endorsement? Because here's a guy that claims he got the endorsement of the National Rifle Association, and then the next day he had to walk that back. he's pretty amazing when you think
about it. I can tell you that Trump wouldn't know the difference.
No. No, but that's what I'm saying. And, you know, I have a problem with a guy like him or Oz out there in Pennsylvania. You don't even live in the damn state, and you're going to run for governor. And in this clown out there's case, he's running for U.S. Senate, and he doesn't live in the state.
Yeah, so, why not?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, Dick, I think that speaks more to the Republican movement that they have they have to recruit candidates from out of state like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's what I said yesterday. They're always going for the outsider. At what point do you go and say the reason I'm going for the outsider is because our party sucks?
Yeah. Well, all they've got is just vote us in, and then we'll tell you what we're going to do.
Yeah. Well, Tim Michaels did. That's He did put out a bullet point, thing of what he wanted to do, and half of it was from Governor Evers, half of it was just Republican talking points, and one of it was really weird.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Trump's healthcare plan and, you know, that infrastructure week that was supposed to come back between 2017 and 2021. So there's always that is.
Oh, yeah,
the
they
mindset.
Repealed Obamacare, too.
They tried.
They totally did it.
They
had a
tried.
Kegger. And then it didn't happen.
There's one thumbs down from a senator from Arizona, John McCain. Not the dancing skirt one with her thumbs down with Kristen Sinema. That was a different Arizona senator.
Oh, that's great.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian.
By the time I get to Arizona. Anyway.
Arizona, I think, is Rusty Bowers, the Speaker of the Arizona Assembly that testified before the January 6th committee, lost yesterday, Brian.
Oh, great.
Do you think that that's got Voss shaking in his boots if he's got a primary challenger that is endorsed by the former president?
One, I can tell you that Voss is wearing boots more than likely. Either way, it's got some heels on it.
We got one more segment left in the day.
Diminutive.
I don't even know how to respond to that, Brian. One more segment left of the day. 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
I am judge, jury, and executioner.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Not work out as well as I wanted to. That's all right, folks. That's what happens when you get into the saddle again. Kind of try and ride that bike again, but you realize it's a multi-level 15-wheeled giant big rig. So. Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents all across the state here. Give us a call. Last segment of the day, 844-967-2789. Tell me what's going on with you. I wanted to go and I want to talk about Vin Scully a little bit.
Yeah.
Vin Scully, the now late broadcaster for the Dodgers, he had retired a couple of years ago, or at least last year. My goodness, the guy broadcasted for 67 years. For most of it by himself. He was just him in the booth. Which is what I almost call him Harry Doyle. This is what Euchre is doing right now, and
yeah,
he's one of those guys that he's the voice of sports that every other sports broadcaster is doing an interpretation of. When you think of what does a sports broadcaster sound like, the thing that pops up in your head is some version of what Vin Scully sounds like. That's just how it works. The guy's an icon. I can't say much about him, and I can't tell you that I'm like, you know, I'm super Vin Scully fan. Like, I listen to all Dodgers games because of Vin Scully or anything like that. I definitely appreciated the guy, and he did have a little bit of an inspiration to me, right? So, I'm gonna play a clip for you guys, right? This is back from 2016, and I was doing radio, right? Radio school at the time. I was trying to figure out what I'm doing with my life. I had recently gotten myself fired for saying, hey, you know that thing you put on number one as our priority on our sales sheet? Yeah, we've never had that in stock, and we haven't, and I know that I've been talking to them. We still won't get it for another year or so, so maybe we shouldn't have that as our priority. Just throwing it out there. And the guy said, can I talk to you in my office? So anyway, I collected unemployment, and while I did that, I went to radio school to kind of, you know, figure out production, things like that. Obviously seemed to have worked out at the time,
just a little bit.
Yeah. But at the time though, you know, I was pretty down on myself. I was worried, you know, what do I have to offer? Like I can't do that type of thing. And this actual clip from Vin Scully, they played, this is courtesy of Major League Baseball. This is, it's Madison Bumgarner. And it's a San Francisco LA Dodgers game from April 16th of 2016. And I just got to play this clip. I'm just going to play it right through. And it's, and if you're a fan, if you've been listening to Dueling Tangents for a while, you can see exactly what I'm talking about when I say, this is how I realized I could do this because Vin Scully can do this.
You know, Bumgarner tells a story which, in a sense, reminds you of what it takes to be a big league ball player. It's 2 years ago in spring training. And he and his wife were roping cattle, which is what they do. 1-1 pitch, sinker low, ball two, 2-1. And they were startled by a large snake. And Madison thought it was a rattlesnake, so he grabbed an axe and he hacked the snake to pieces. But there's something more to the story. 2-1 pitch, low, ball three, 3-1. When his wife Allie and an expert field dresser examined what was left of the snake, she found two baby jackrabbits inside pieces of the snake and extracted them. 3-1 pitch to Turner, way inside, ball four. And after she extracted them, a short while later, the Bumgarners noticed that one of the rabbits had moved slightly. It was alive. Well, his wife brought the rabbit back to their apartment. For the next few days, they kept it warm, bottle nursed it, and the rabbit soon was healthy enough that they released it into the wild. And Madison said, just think about how tough that rabbit was. First it gets eaten by a snake, then the snake gets chopped to pieces, then it gets picked up by people and lives. It's all true. Meanwhile, line drive base hit to center by Hendrick, and the Dodgers are in business, first and second and nobody out. So I guess really the morale to the whole story about the rabbit and the snake, you've got to somehow survive. You've got to somehow battle back. A lesson well taught for all of us.
Wow. Like, calls the game completely just like nothing. Like it's nothing. Like,
no, he's just watching another baseball game and talking to you. That's what I love about broadcasters. But there was a side-by-side clip between how basketball play-by-play does and then baseball, and it's just completely worlds different. And I think you're right, Brian. I've never actually noticed the analogy there, but what you and I do when we're talking about the news is it's very similar. We're talking about other tangents.
The news is the ball game that's going on. Mm-hmm. The tangents are the story that we talk in between the pitches.
Yeah,
that's exactly what happens here. And it's but it also was like that. He went on tangents, but he was also right on time, on point, and had his ducks in a row so that he could go on that tangent. He knew exactly what box he had. He knew exactly how much time he had left, and just. The amount of focus available and the ability to do that is just uncanny to me. And it was one of those things that I was like, that's the kind of thing that I want to get into. And if I can be even like remotely even just a quarter of what that is, I'll be pretty darn happy.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, dude. I am, and again, you know, Vin Scully dying, it's one of those things like he was still alive. You know, like when he retired, everybody pretty much he acted like he was dead pretty much. But again, it was like a guy lived like 96 years, something like that. Again, mm-hmm. Really old guy. Good for him. He enjoyed the hell out of himself. And I think he really you can't be overstated how much he influenced broadcast.
No, absolutely not. And it's you hear a lot of this is the time where you hear a lot of those legends passing away. And it's great to hear clips like that one and being able to remember the legends.
And that was in the latter part. You know, this isn't like...
That was only 6 years ago.
Yeah, I heard on the way in someone telling a story about how he was talking about... Because, again, he's the Dodgers guy. He got to, you know, he really got to know Jackie Robinson pretty darn well. And he went ice skating with the Robinsons. And like was in a race with them, like an ice skating race. Like just the amount of knowledge and the amount of like cultural influence the guy has. Just being a baseball guy. You know, think about Harry Carey. There are people who don't know anything about baseball who know Harry Carey. You know, people hate Joe Buck and they don't even know why. They don't even know what he does. They just see him and they're like, that's the guy everyone hates. Right? I mean, broadcasters have influence.
But we got good ones in Wisconsin, too. Brian Anderson now doing national circuit, but then Euchre as well. I mean, there's probably Euchre fans out there that are just fans of his voice.
They're fans of Mr. Belvedere. Don't listen. Don't pretend.
They don't listen at all for the baseball, but they listen for Euchre's voice.
Wesley.
Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Thanks for joining us on that little memory road there for baseball. Because how can you not be romantic about baseball? We'll be back tomorrow to talk to y'all then. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, devilradio927.com. You can also check out the podcast on Spotify now. We're on Spotify, yeah. Brian.
Yeah, we're soon to be Apple, too.
There we go. We'll be back tomorrow too. Talk to you then.
Don't worry, nobody's...